It is. The JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm going to tell you why I'm laughing in a second. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey is holding down for us in New York City. Thank you so much to Chris for helping out as well. I'll be hanging out with you for one more hour. Not here for a long time, but I'm here for a good time. It's Thursday, October 31st. That means it's Halloween. And the freaks come out at night all over North America. Oh, it's getting dark. If the sun has not set, it is setting now. It's soon to be gone. Halloween is for the children, but get the candy and then you do your thing afterwards, okay? It is Thursday. How about this? The New York Jets just scored a touchdown. Thursday night football. And we've talked about a lot so far tonight. And the Jets now taking a 6-0 lead against the Texans. We talked about the World Series win of the Dodgers, the Yankees losing, Micah Parsons not playing football yet, Joe Burrow doesn't want to be asked about the trade deadline, it's not in his job description, Jordan Love looks like he's going to play against the Detroit Lions. And thank you so much to Tim Neverett for joining us, Dodgers play-by-play voice. He came through and talked to us earlier on in the show. And then we got into Juan Soto. Potential free agent. So much to get into, so much to talk about. Of course, at the end of the show, we're going to kind of walk through quite a few things that you got to be crapping me. What a nightmare. Oh, the most Jets thing ever happened. Oh, my God. You can stop the music now. You can kill it. Oh, my God. Oh, man. The New York Jets almost had a touchdown. Corley was running the ball in. Hickey, what was this, a punt return, a kick return?
An end around.
Oh, my God. Did he drop the ball before he got into the end zone? Did he?
It certainly looks like it. It definitely looks like it. Now, I don't know if nobody recovers it and it doesn't go out of bounds. I don't know what happens.
1 yard, right? Right? It just, you got to replay down from, I don't know, loss it. I don't know. The ball stops. Where did it stop? Did it roll out of bounds?
They got to keep going. Show the replay. Who did anyone recover? There's a Texan in the area.
Well, now I'm looking at people surf on a commercial. What is this for? GoPro?
This is pretty cool, though. I would say bull riding.
Joy to the wild. What is this for? A Yeti. Yeti? What? Don't they sell cups? I don't know. What is
Yeti? They're indestructible, I guess.
I don't know. I don't go outside. What is Yeti?
Coolers.
Yeah.
Cups.
Yeah.
Koozies.
Okay. I guess I can get. I've been in REI before. I know REI.
So you're an outdoorsman, basically.
Am I? I don't know.
Go in REI one time, you're set.
Probably looking for sweatpants. I don't know. I'm not doing an REI. You know one place I've never been? Have you ever been in that giant fish place in the middle of nowhere?
Oh, Bass Pro Shops? No, but I want to see the tank so bad.
Oh, my God. A tank of what?
The fish tank in the middle.
With real fish?
Yeah. Oh. I think it was last year. It may have been 2 years ago.
For what?
Some guy went in there butt naked.
Wait. There's bass in there?
Oh, yeah. There's real fish in there.
You buy them to do what?
Well, I don't know if you buy them. I think it's more just... I've never been in, so I don't want to speak, but I think you just look at them. I think it's display only. I could be wrong.
These stores are in the middle of nowhere.
And they are huge.
They're like off the side of not even a highway. These stores are like off of a two-lane street, two-lane road. The biggest store between a Wendy's and a gas station. And it's like, boom, Bass Pro Shop. And I'm like, I'm not stopping in there. There's nothing in there for me.
No? You said there's nothing. No what camo am I buying? For you?
No. What am I buying camouflage for? I want to get in my car and keep on driving.
How about Hunter's Orange? The opposite. You could be seen.
No. What? So I could, I don't work at night? No, thanks. Okay, the call on the field is a touchdown. Wait. What are they doing? The referee's doing two. Reverse the guy off the Jets.
No way.
No touchdown. Is this going to be a touchdown? What happens? The ball rolled out of the end zone the other way. This is the most Jets thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Aaron Rodgers is going to have this guy cut at the end of the game.
He's cut right now. Go in the locker room, buddy. You're done.
Oh, my God. So, okay, it's 1st and 10. The fans are all – there's a lady laughing at a man. The play restarts at the 20 where the Jets have a first down and they get 2 yards. You know what would be funny here, Hickey?
Touchdown?
No. If they only get a field goal.
Oh.
That'll be funny. Oh, my goodness. And this guy has, he can't, we see this every week at every level of football. Didn't somebody just do this in college the other day? Did somebody just do this in the NFL? Did I see this on Sunday? Did Pickens do this? Did somebody do?
Oh, like, Pitts. Kyle Pitts did it. And he got lucky because it was like,
no angle. There was no camera. Right.
It certainly looked like it was before, but like, there's no like down the line angle. It should have been. I don't get it.
You would think that's not Aaron Rodgers. Who the hell is that guy? Oh, that's Stroud. Wait a minute.
Yeah, the ball rolled out of the end zone. Touchback.
Oh my God.
That's what I was saying, touchdown. The Texans go right down and score on this drive.
Yeah, I realized the ball rolled. Oh, my God. I didn't realize. I was like, 7. That's not Rodgers. Oh, my. That's why the home team needs to wear white. There's so much confusion. I'm doing too many things at one time.
Wait, you want the home team to wear white?
Yeah, every home team should wear white. Yeah. I know football is different.
Well, I guess football is the only sport where they don't do that, but no, well, and hockey too.
Now they just will forget the NBA. I don't know who's who.
NBA, there's no policy anymore.
Yeah, I don't know who is wearing what. Oh my God. Jets are pathetic. Are they gonna talk? Nobody knows who that guy is. Are they gonna talk to him after the game?
Oh, they will tonight, that's for sure. You don't touch the ball ever. You barely featured in the offense. What were you thinking?
How do you coach that? Like, just hold the ball all the way to the end zone. Like, wouldn't that be a point of emphasis with all teams? Like, don't do what Kyle Pitts did the other day?
You would think. Yeah. Do you have to have drills now on, like, Mondays where you're literally physically running through, like, the back of the end zone before you drop the ball?
You stupid idiot. Hold the ball all the way through the end zone. Why are you letting go of the rock? You can't make this stuff up. Absolutely hilarious. Speaking of hilarious, and this is why I was laughing at the intro to the show. By the way, if you missed a minute of the show, you can always hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Thank you to everybody listening live on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM, it's 158. You got a smart speaker, ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. In the break, I was alerted by our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, that even Bill Belichick is participating in Halloween. I can't believe it. And I just tweeted it out myself at JR Sport Brief. I said, Bill Belichick is having a better Halloween than me. Bill Belichick is on a beach, some body of water, with his girlfriend. Bill Belichick is a fisherman for Halloween. Good for him. He is a fisherman that caught a mermaid. The mermaid is Bill Belichick's 24. Hickey, am I right? 24, 25?
Somewhere in that range. Yeah, very young.
Oh yuck. Creepy. I'm just saying. How old is he? 24. Oh. Okay.
Almost 50 years.
Oh. None of my business. Ugh. He caught his 24-year-old girlfriend. Bill Belichick is a fisherman that caught his girlfriend at sea. Hickey, even thinking about it now is making me. That's a wide gap. That's a wide.
Imagine being 48 years old and, like, your girlfriend was just born.
Oh.
That's crazy. That's.
Her parents don't. I guess they don't. We don't know.
I mean, either they don't care or she doesn't listen.
Oh.
Or she doesn't care about their opinion.
Well, if she can get some coin out of it, what does she care, right?
Guess so.
Maybe she loves him. I don't know.
Well, I guess he must love her if he's doing this, right?
Do you think he loves her, right? Bill Belichick posing and smiling. He's posing for Halloween pictures. Like somebody had to take these photos for them. I don't think Bill Belichick set up the selfie stick and put the timer on. You know, I don't think he did that.
No, you don't think?
No.
He's that technologically sound?
I don't think so. No, sorry. How's Bill Belichick having a better Halloween than me? My Halloween is looking at people dressed up out the window. Hickey, no, I was going to send you the photos. I said, no, I don't need to send Hickey these photos. He's going to be like, JR's an idiot. No, I looked out the window in the break, and there was somebody dressed as Patrick Starr from SpongeBob. They walk by. And then somebody, the inflatable Halloween outfit is the new thing. Like, these are these things this is that accessible? It used to be if you had this, you were rich. And now it's like, I guess everybody can inflate themselves? Is this what this is?
Are you talking about as a costume? Or are you talking about the inflatables on, like, the lawn? You're talking about, like, an actual costume as inflatable?
There was a person walking down the plaza outside the studio window as Patrick Starr. Yes. A giant
inflatable.
Yeah, like I showed you Kirby last week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I thought it was COVID, but it was Kirby. And then somebody else, like 3 seconds later, walked by. They were a clown walking on their hands, but it was an inflatable giant clown. It's creepy outside. When I leave the studio, Hickey, I just look like a guy. Like you said, I look like a loser in my Hawks gear. Is that? Hey, look at the loser over there. That's what they'll say to me.
Yeah, just dress up. I swear, just one day only.
Yeah, how about that? And you don't have no plans, nothing for you. You're not trick or treating.
No, considering it's going to be 10 o'clock at night when I leave here.
Yeah.
I don't think that I'll be knocking any doors and they'll be opening with candy. If I knock on a door, they may be opening something else.
Oh yeah. Did you see that video of that guy on the subway?
Well, which one? I mean, it's a daily occurrence now.
There was a guy on the subway, one of these street performers.
Okay.
He was dancing with a ball cap, and he was kicking the cap onto his knee. You know, they're very coordinated.
Yes.
He was kicking the ball cap onto his knee. He kicked it to his foot. He kicked it to the top of his head. And then he was yelling at a guy, I guess, for not giving him money for the entertainment. And the guy just looked at him. And then he was sitting down. He unzipped one hoodie. And then he unzipped another hoodie slowly underneath that one.
Oh, my.
And everybody started to get up and go, no. The guy got off the train, and the guy was just like, something, something or another. I'm just trying to go to work. And people were like, nah, man, don't do it. Don't do it. And there was it's like a silhouette under his hoodie. You could see it. And he just slowly unzipped one hoodie and then unzipped another one and was getting ready to unzip. Like, who has on three hoodies in the subway?
Well, I guess if you're trying to hide something, I guess that's a good way to do it.
The hammer. That's what he was trying to. He was. Well, he wasn't trying to hide the hammer. He had the hammer and was concealing it, reportedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Welcome to New York City. Maybe Jameson Williams needs to take notes, or maybe not. Just
maybe not.
Just
definitely not.
Don't carry the hammer at all, bro. Just let somebody else do it. Don't carry it at all. New York City, what a place for Halloween. It's a sad place right now. New York City, very sad place. New York Yankees lose last night. Dodgers win the World Series. In about 10 minutes, we're going to have a chat with J.P. Hornstra. Covers all things baseball for Newsweek. And we're going to ask him about everything going on. It's just already got a trade. Braves waste no time. They're like, all right, World Series over. Let's get to it. Somebody who's happy, maybe not, that the World Series is over is Aaron Judge. Last night, after dropping a ball, helping to cost the Yankees a victory that would lengthen their season back to Los Angeles, Aaron Judge says losing the World Series and sucking, he's going to remember this for his whole life. This is a nightmare for him.
I think falling short in the World Series will stick with me until I die, probably. I think just like every other loss, you know, those things don't go away. You know, they're battle scars along the way. And, you know, hopefully my career is over. We got a lot of battle scars, but also a lot of victories along the way, too.
Yeah, well, good luck. That's all I can say. Good luck. You better hope you win a World Series. Some Yankee fans will eat you alive. They'll give him a break. No, it'll be fine. Aaron Judge, if he's healthy next year, he's going to hit 40-plus home runs and have a batting average higher, 270 or higher. It'll be fine. Nobody will care about any of that anymore unless he's going for another home run record. Ultimately, people just want to see a World Series. 2009 and counting. The Dodgers, on the other hand, At least tomorrow they'll have a parade after winning the World Series in 2020. No parades for COVID. None whatsoever. His fans will be out tomorrow in full swing, hopefully not burning things to the ground or looting, committing crimes. It's wholesome fun. It'll be wholesome. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, J.P. Hornstra will join us. We'll talk some baseball. What does this mean for the Dodgers? What does this mean for the Yankees? What does this mean for the offseason? What can we look forward to next year? J.P. joining us on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. The World Series is over. The Dodgers, they're your World Series champion over the Yankees. The Braves have wasted, they wasted no time already making a trade. Dodgers haven't even had their parade yet. To talk about what we've seen this past season, what we saw in the World Series and the postseason, what we might see in the offseason, is someone who covers all things baseball nationally for Newsweek. Joining us right now is J.P. Hornstra. J.P., how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm excellent. Thank you for taking the time to join us. So let me ask you this. World Series is done. Yep. Biggest surprise that you saw. What did you see? And you just said, whoa, didn't expect to see that.
Freddie Freeman hitting for power. you know, if you doubted Freddie Freeman in the division series of the National Championship Series, you would have pitched him very differently than he needed to be pitched because he had zero power. As soon as he came back from that ankle injury. And those 4 days off between game six, of the NLCS, Dodgers-Mets, and game one of the World Series, he just turned back into the Freddie Freeman who nearly hit 30 home runs in the regular season and announced that in a very loud way with the grand slam to end game one. So I didn't see that coming.
And we also learned that he had a little bit of a cartilage issue with his ribs. Yep. And he still went through and decided to light it up. J.P. Hornstra is here with us, covers all things baseball for Newsweek. When you think about what the Dodgers have done this season and bringing in Yamamoto and all the stars and the salaries that they have, can they really add more people in the offseason? Are they really going to go for somebody like Soto?
Yeah, the cop-out answer, but it's the accurate one, is it really depends on the kind of contract that Soto or Corbin Burns or Jack Flaherty or any of the better free agents are willing to take. You know, the Dodgers can only entertain this because they're deferring the majority of Shohei Ohtani's contract until after he's, you know, done playing, basically, 10 years from now. And some players are down for that. Some players are willing to accept that. Some players are willing to say, you know what, I'll take that 10-year $700 million contract, even if it only means I'm getting closer to like $450 million in reality. I would fall into that camp. Me personally, I would take those terms if you offered them to me. But I can't sit here and promise you that Juan Soto is feeling the same way. And, you know, there's going to be very competitive bidding for his services. Now, the length of such a deal absolutely factors into that equation. If you're talking about, say, Corbin Burns, he's probably not in line for a 10-year deal, and it might actually benefit the Dodgers in this free agent market if they're able to land a pitcher who's willing to take a shorter-term deal, say 10 years or less, because that's going to be easier to pallet because they're going to start owing Shohei Ohtani $60 million a year in 10 years, and that's going to be tough for any team, I would say even the Dodgers, to fit a salary around.
As the Dodgers move forward, JP, we know that Guggenheim Partners and everyone involved, they are certainly willing to spend, and they bore the first fruit of their labor in 2020 in the pandemic in a shortened 60-game season. They've now done it again this year, their first year with Ohtani. With the current CBA, are they going to be able to still move forward like this, or are they eventually going to get kicked in the ass?
Yeah, good question. Time will tell. I mean, here's the Dodgers have a couple things working into their favor. You know, one is that the regional sports network bubble that burst and that really limited a lot of teams in free agency these last 2 years. The Dodgers seem to be a little bit insulated from that in that they have a very comfortable deal with parent Charter that owns their regional sports network, and no real signs of that ship but breaking any leaks. So they're in a very fortunate position, whereas other teams were straight up blindsided when their regional sports networks just didn't even make payments that the teams were owed. And I think you saw that play out somewhat in the, you know, spending on free agents coming down somewhat relative to expectations this past offseason. I think you'll see some of that again. You know, Major League Baseball just took over the broadcasts of, I believe, three teams confirmed, and maybe some more to come. The Dodgers aren't in that boat, so that's a huge advantage for them. But it's all relative. Will they give out another $700 million contract? Probably not. You know, you never put it past them, but probably not. They're going to have to be selective. They're going to have to look at shorter-term deals. But some players are willing to take shorter-term deals. Some players are willing to take deferred money. And as long as the Dodgers can meet the free agents that they want on those terms, I think they'll be signing plenty of free agents.
J.P. Hornstra is here with us, covers all things baseball for Newsweek. We all know about Soto. We've heard the amount of money that he could potentially net, whether it be from the Yankees, the Mets, whoever. Maybe $500, $600-plus million. Who are some other big-time free agents, him, Pete Alonso, that people aren't paying attention to that could have an impact on a team?
Yeah, you know, pitchers probably don't get the attention that they deserve just generally, especially starters, you know, because, let's face it, the role of the starting pitcher has been de-emphasized. They don't go as long as they used to. Complete games, shutouts, those statistics are almost relics of history books now. But as the Dodgers demonstrated during this run in the postseason, the reason that they were able to move on is because their starting pitching stepped up in a way that few people expected them to. You know, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, you mentioned him. He spent a lot of the season on the injured list, didn't really come back until September, and there were a lot of questions about what he would be able to do, not just given, you know, the time off due to injury, but the fact that he needed 5 days of rest minimum between each start, and yet every time they gave him the ball, more or less, he delivered. You could say the same thing with Walker Buehler. Jack Flaherty didn't pitch his best game there in Game 5, but fortunately, the Dodgers had the bullpen pieces to pick him up. So I think the underrated players in this market are going to be the starting pitchers who contending teams like the Dodgers are not necessarily counting on to, you know, pitch complete game shutouts every fifth day during the regular season, but could be big pieces of the next World Series run next October. Guys like Corbin Burns, guys like Jack Flaherty, guys like Walker Buehler. It's going to be interesting to see how their markets evolve. And I think that's probably the area of the free agent market that's getting overlooked the most.
Well, JP, the Yankees' first World Series appearance since 2009. That's a long time for Yankee fans, 15 years, and they end up with an L. What can the Yankees do to get over the hump besides what a lot of Yankee fans want, probably fire Aaron Boone and everybody?
Yeah, well, it's hard to think of what that team would have accomplished this season without Juan Soto. I don't know that I would necessarily give all the money that the Yankees have to Juan Soto, because the biggest difference between the Dodgers and the Yankees, I mean, yes, you can point out the base running, you can point out the fundamental mistakes they made in the field, and take nothing away from that, but that's a little bit harder to identify in the market, right? Like, who's the most fundamentally sound player on the market? I don't know. The Yankees would probably get him, but more than that, they should get some lineup depth. You know, the Dodgers had the lineup depth that the Yankees didn't. That, as much as anything, is how they were able to overcome a relatively weak starting rotation and make some noise in October where few people expected. Their starting pitching had the run support that they needed to get the job done. And I don't know that the Yankees can go into next October with really only two major components in their lineup and expect to do any better than they did this year. If I were them, I would invest in some lineup depth. And you know, some of those fundamental mistakes, some of those mental errors that we saw them make, that can come down to coaching. You know, Anthony Rizzo, I didn't hear anybody complain about his defense at first base going into the Game 5 of the World Series. But, you know, where was he looking knowing that Gerrit Cole was right in front of him standing halfway between the mound and first base? I don't know. You know, little things like that can come down to coaching, and I wouldn't dismiss that out of hand as something that could be a difference maker for them in the long run.
Overall, we know that we see so many teams go up, come down. I mean, just last year, the World Series had the Rangers and the Diamondbacks, and that they were nowhere to be found in this year's postseason. Are there any teams that you look at next year and say, oh, they're starting to put some pieces together where they might be more competitive to shock some folks?
Yeah, you know, the one team that really stands out the most in that category to me is the Detroit Tigers. After they upset the Astros in the first round in the wild card series, it would not have surprised me to see them go on a deep run, much like the Rangers and Diamondbacks did last year. Now, they ran into the Cleveland Guardians buzzsaw, and that ended that. But that's a team that has really developed well internally and could be, you know, one or two players away from going on a deeper run. And there's not too much deeper they can go. So I think I would look at them. You know, the Mets, if they sign Juan Soto, that's a really scary looking team. They did pretty well against the Dodgers. They held their own in the NLCS for a while there. And I would look at them as another team. Nobody thinks of a team with the Mets budget as up and coming, but you just look at who they have on paper. I would say they're one or two players away at most as well. So there's two for you. But it's going to be a long off season, and there are going to be a lot of moving pieces. So we'll see.
When you look at the amount of money that gets spent, the Dodgers, I would say that they were able to buy this championship. You know, you think about the amount of years, like, hey, we can buy two championships out of 4 years and, you know, 10 years of our ownership. Okay, you take it. But are we going to see a balance at all? When you see the guys at the top spending so much, we see teams that have payrolls like Cleveland's. Like, does this ever balance out, or does the ecosystem or the owners of Major League Baseball, are they fine with this?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. We have to be careful and kind of define our terms here, because on the one hand, yes, the Dodgers just won the World Series. A lot of people discounted it when they did that 4 years ago. And you know, take that or leave it, the Dodgers have been here every year. It just so happens that this is the year they pulled through, but it hasn't been fair in the National League West for a while. I mean, they've won, I think, 11 of the last 12 division titles. So if you're out west and looking at the competitive landscape here, the Dodgers have been doing this for a while, and this is nothing new. I think what is new is the idea that they could get Shohei Ohtani to accept literally a $2 million annual salary by virtue of the deferrals in his contract. And if you see juggernaut teams start to emulate that, if the Yankees are able to emulate that, the Mets, et cetera, then they could be getting a lot more top-heavy as well. I would also go back to what I was saying about the regional sports networks. If you're in a major market, you're probably on solid ground. And if you're in a smaller market, you know, Bally recently rebranded as FanDuel, and they dropped all of their major league teams except for the Atlanta Braves. And that's a tough position to be in now if you're a small market team without that RSN money that you've been counting on, really, for the last few decades. So I think short term, that's going to be a real factor in teams really having to hit on their draft picks, on their development strategy, and not having nearly the margin for error that they used to until the economics start to even out in that area. But I would say, too, that large market teams are also going to have to be careful about the money they spend. You know, we saw the Angels go out and spend a whole ton of money on Anthony Rendon. How did that work out, right? Money doesn't necessarily buy you championships, but it really does help paper over some mistakes.
Oh, it does. It sounds like the little guy gets screwed. And I see, even in last question for you, I see that it looks like the A's, they're going to move forward and move into Vegas eventually, I guess in 3 or 4 years, huh?
That's the word on the street. I would point to December. I would circle that month on your calendar. I don't remember the exact day in December, but in December there is a scheduled hearing at which the owner of the A's, John Fisher, is expected to show the financials behind his stadium proposal, showing that he has the money to indeed build it. He hasn't shown that yet, and that is rare in the circumstances that we're talking about with respect to relocation. Usually that money isn't a question right now. Usually it's just a matter of when are you going to break ground. So far it's a matter of if. Now, I will say this. Rob Manfred gave an interview, I believe it was to, I think it was John Orand of Puck. Apologies, John, if I got that wrong. But he said he expects this to be a done deal. And you don't get anybody with more power in baseball than the commissioner. So that's a pretty high authority. But in 2 months, we'll know. We'll know for sure whether this is going to happen. I'm a little less than 100% sure, but only a little.
Okay. Well, good luck to them in their temporary home of Sacramento. A lot of late-night baseball coming for the Sacramento A's, the A's of California. I don't know what the hell they're going to be called, but good luck to them. JP, do you know what they're going to be called?
I have no idea. In all the official paperwork, they're not even bound to any geographical location. They're the A's of the Western Hemisphere for all MLB cares.
Yeah, just the Athletics. So, JP, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Where can people follow you and your work?
Yeah, go to Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, currently known as X, at JP Hornstra, Instagram, Threads, all the social medias, and go to newsweek.com, click on sports, you'll see me there.
Hey, JP, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Go grab some candy for me, okay?
I'll work on it right now. Thank you.
Thank you so much to JP Hornstra. Covers all things baseball nationally for Newsweek. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, of course, we're going to share with you a few things that took place this day in sports history. And then also, you talk about all this movement and free agency and whatnot. Is there a realistic chance that Giannis Antetokounmpo is moved as well?
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Nobody want to see this, man. 27 seconds left before the half. Thursday night football, the New York Jets and the Houston Texans. C.J. Stroud gets sacked. He's limping off of the field. There's some type of leg injury. We don't know if it's his calf or ankle, foot. Looks like he got kicked in the shin. Saw his ankle wobble while he was in the air. Yeah, he got kicked in the knee shin area. And he was down for a while. And now he, on his own power, walked off the field. Is at the bench area being looked at. But maybe a little bit of a bruise. Maybe some pain there. We don't know if he's done. With him on the bench now, the Texans are going to attempt a 56-yard a field goal, which is no good, and they still maintain a 7-0 lead. And 22 seconds left here in the first half for Aaron Rodgers to hope to generate some offense. New York Jets already blew an opportunity. It should be 7-7. One of their receivers ran right into the end zone with the football. Excuse me, Hickey. Let me say that correctly. He ran towards the end zone and then decided to throw the ball out of his hands before he crossed in celebration. And the ball actually bounced out of bounds. And the Jets, instead of getting 7 points or six, they got nothing. It's a very New York Jets thing. Was that an accurate description?
I love how you described that. Threw it away before he got to the end zone. That fits it perfectly.
Yeah. What a dumbass New York Jets. Come on. Just terrible, terrible, terrible. Knowing the Jets, they'll figure out a way to get some points here with 19 seconds left. Maybe they'll get a field goal or something. Now, hopefully C.J. Stroud is okay. Just a little kick. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens there. Also, I had mentioned Giannis Antetokounmpo and how bad the Bucks are. People are surprised that both he and Damian Lillard still aren't, I don't know, clicking? I know it's early in the season. The Milwaukee Bucks already have a record of 1-3. Giannis and Damian Lillard, they ain't running pick and roll. It's kind of like they're on two separate planets. You might remember last year that Damian Lillard thought he was going to Miami. He wanted to go to Miami. Ended up in Milwaukee. Was out of shape when he got there. I don't know. Now people are saying that Giannis may at one point move. You know, maybe by the trade deadline, maybe early, maybe sooner. We have no idea. I thought that Giannis would be a Buck forever. Aaron Rodgers is, what a sad human. It makes me happy to see him sad. Hickey, if there's one person I like seeing sad, it's him.
I would agree, because his face, anytime someone does something that they're not supposed to do, in this case, Davante Adams dropping the ball, he looks like the world's ending.
Yeah.
He's so unlikable.
It seems like he deserves it. I don't know.
Right. Well, like, if you're a teammate, how can you actually play hard for him?
His fans are giving him thumbs down. Guys are wearing masks. Women are burying their heads into their hands in disgust. Yeah, Hickey, I wanted a blowout, but this is just as fun. Just as fun.
This is bad.
How'd I figure that something stupid was going to happen to the Jets and then be right about it? Yes, that's not difficult to do now, is it?
So that's how this season has gone for them.
Yes,
that's how the whole organization's history is really gone for the most part.
Now they got to punt the ball. What are they going to get? Kicked back on a penalty? Penalty on the offense before they punt. You can't even make this stuff up. And New York Jets are going to go down in history for being bad. Let's take a look at a few things that happened in past history that are actually good.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for This Day in Sports History.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It's Halloween. It's October 31st. The year is 2024. Let's go back to October 31st, Halloween, 1999, because the Browns, they won their first game since reemerging as an expansion franchise. They won on a Hail Mary that was tipped. Tim Couch threw a ball in the air. It was tipped. Kevin Johnson comes down with it. The Browns beat the Saints 21-16. Listen to this, courtesy of the Browns Radio Network.
Seconds ago, being chased. Heaves one down the near sideline to the right. Looking for Kevin Johnson. Ball is tipped. Johnson's got it. Touchdown, Browns. The Browns have won their first game. Kevin Johnson made the catch out of the fight.
Why does it feel like all these years later that nothing's ever changed? The Browns finished that year with a record of 2-14. And poor Browns. Hey, let's go to Halloween, October 31st, 2004. Well, this is scary, at least this one day, for the New England Patriots, because the Steelers, they stopped them. They ended their 21-game winning streak. They beat them, Ben Roethlisberger and crew, 34-20.
Bettis, the tailback in the eye on first and goal. Jerome Bettis hammers his way home for the touchdown. You know, Jerome Bettis was in our NFL Today studio last week, did not want to see the Jets in the streak of the Patriots because he said, we want them. We want to get them next week at home. He got his wish. Patriots won last week, 21 in a row, and today they've come back and they have knocked them out. 399 days later, the streak comes to a close.
Yeah, and, well, ultimately, the New England Patriots do what they do. They might have lost that game. They still won the damn Super Bowl. Okay? Yeah. They won the Super Bowl. At least they won't win a Super Bowl in the near future. That's nice, right? Sick of those guys. New England Patriots. Thank you. Thank you to the Steelers. Anyway, what a show. What a show. Thank you so much to J.P. Hornstra for coming through. Came through from Newsweek to tell us about all these money-spending baseball teams that are going to, well, not in his words, my words, just ruin the game more than it already is. Rich get richer, the poor get poorer. And thank you so much to the Dodgers radio voice, Tim Neverett, for joining us as they get ready for the parade tomorrow. Hopefully there are no fires. Hopefully there are no buses lit on fire. Hickey, what are the odds for violence? What are we looking at?
You always have to have some sort of percent, right? I will say the low 1%. It's a joyous occasion tomorrow. No reason
to fight. Say that again. What are the odds that we get some violence?
So you can't have it zero, right? Because there's always a percent chance that somebody's going to be fighting somewhere. Okay. But I'm going to keep it low at 1.
So you think that it's going to go off easy?
I think so. It should. I mean, what is there to fight about? You won the World Series. This is the first World Series you can actually celebrate with a parade since 1988. Who is fighting and for what?
So you're saying that they got it out their system last night, all 12 arrests. Okay. Right.
I hope so. I mean, do you plan on going to a victory parade and trying to fight somebody?
Somebody got shot at the Chiefs' last parade.
Well, that... reportedly was inadvertent. Or, excuse me, those unrelated. Two people, unrelated.
It was unrelated to the parade, but it was two idiots beefing.
So you think that we could see a similar situation here? Just a,
No, I don't want no shooting. No. But
a fight like just random two people fighting over totally different reasons?
I think we'll have something to talk about tomorrow.
Oh.
In addition to Puka Nacua's knee injury in practice, you got to be kidding me. In a Bob Costas is quitting. I wonder why. We have a lot to get into tomorrow, people. We got college football that you're ready for. We got a NFL week 9 to continue on for. And the New York Jets, the losers. Houston is beating them 7-0. It looks like C.J. Stroud's knee is okay. If you missed a minute of the show, hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Thank you to super producer and host Ryan Hickey. Thank you to Chris for helping out as well. You be safe, be well, be smooth, be cool. The JR Sport Brief show is done. Don't move. Bart Winkler coming up next. Y'all be nice. Be nice to each other, okay? Bye.